Muy buenas tardes. Un saludo al misionero Miguel Lemus del Marín y a todos los hermanos y hermanas.
Good afternoon. Greetings to the missionary Miguel Lemus del Marín and to all the brothers and sisters and ministers from different countries that are connected today through the satellite Amazonas and the satellite Eutelsat 8, today Friday, June 6th of this year 2025. Our subject is Time to Ripen in the Light of the Word, preached by Dr. William Soto Santiago on Friday, May 13th of 2011 in Talcahuano, Biobío, Chile. And there he read the scripture of the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 4, verse 26, where he tells us, and he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. First the blade, he numbers there one, and he writes two, then the ear. After that, he writes three, the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he put it in the sickle, because the harvest is come, and there he writes four. Time to ripen in the light of the word. You may please be seated. In the message, Time to Bear Fruit for God, preached on March 17, 2001, in Paraguay, preached by Dr. William Soto Santiago, he says, and now we can see that the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ has had sons and daughters of God potentially, but they have not been manifested as sons and daughters of God physically. They have not been adopted. Everything has taken place in the spiritual realm, but physically, they have not received their adoption. They have not been transformed. In the edited Book of the Ages, on page 368, the Reverend William Branham tells us, on that page he says, what was planted in the first age will develop in the second age, and in all other ages until it comes to maturity and harvest. There he draws a cornerstone and the ages on the right, and he writes, in a part of the notes here, he writes, what was so, it would be sown in the first age, now ripens and is harvested. Our brother William continues saying in the message we're reading, but in the age of the corn of wheat, the corn of wheat must come to maturity through the sun, which is Christ, and the sun comes out in the daytime. In the message, the invisible union of the bride of Christ, on page 25, the Reverend William Branham tells us, here corresponds to the paragraph 183 on this book, and it says, you cannot preach Luther's message today. It goes in it, but that's defeat. Cannot preach Wesley. Cannot preach Pentecostal. We're plumb beyond that. They denominated and died. They're the stalk. The stalk come up with the blade. That's the first condition of the church. Now, that there don't look like the first grain that went into the ground, the wheat. The second come forth is a pollen that still don't look like the grain. Looks more like it, it's coming more in the image of the real grain. But the blades don't sure look like the grain that went in the ground. It's a carrier of the life that was in the grain. But what did it do? It denominated. Just like all other nature fits in with it, it died. Then what? The life ran right up into the tassel. It's got whole lots of little balls hanging on it. Looks like little grains in it. Looks like it's a real grain. But it isn't. Then it drops down into the shuck. And what does it bring forth? A shuck. Now, you take a grain of wheat. When the wheat is first coming forth, and Jesus said, a corn of wheat, and you take that wheat and open it up, you put it off the stalk. You look at it. You say, we got a grain of wheat. Be careful. It's just exactly like the grain. But there's not a bit of grain in it. It's the shuck. There's the Pentecostals. So much, as Matthew 24:24 said, deceive the very elect in the last days, if it was possible. But you pull leaf by leaf back. You ain't got no grain. The grain is right back in the back of it, see? And then the life comes out of that denomination, goes into the grain. Then what happens? When the grain begins to grow and to get bigger so it can cover over something, the denominations pull away from it. Why ain't we got a denomination out of this? They never will be. It's the grain. It can't go no further. We're at the end time. So what does it have to do now? Lay in the presence of the sun to be ripened. That's a sect. Now notice how Brother Branham speaks to us about that stage, about that time, where the wheat was going to be ripened in the presence of the sun, which is where it would be ripening for the final harvest. Now he goes on to say, lay in the presence of the sun to be ripened. That's a sect. The word to be ripened into your heart, to bring forth and live what we're talking about. Yes, sir. Then you'll have no more doubt if you let the Holy Spirit reveal it to you, like the Queen said about Daniel. And there he writes, the word has to ripen in your heart. Now notice how the word has to ripen in your heart. This is a good subject. The word has to ripen in your heart. Because it is in the soul of the person where that word, that seed that was sown, that revelation, which is what the thunders are given, it is in the soul, in the heart, where it will produce the effect. It will produce everything that word has been brought for. And there is where it is brought to life. There is where it will produce that new birth. There is where it will produce the effect of the transformation. Now remember that the new birth is in the soul. While in the dispensation of grace, the Holy Spirit was working in the holy place. But at the last day, which is the seventh millennium from Adam until now, it is in the most holy place at this end time, where the Holy Spirit would be working, would be bringing forth that new birth in the church as a mystical body of believers and also as individuals, as an age, the age of the cornerstone. Now, it is in the heart, it is in the soul, both of the human being as the individual, as well as in the soul of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, where that word would ripen. And that's where it is ripening. And why is it ripening today? And why is it already at that harvest to be presented before the Heavenly Father and to be placed as adopted children there and be presented before the world? These are my beloved children in whom I am pleased to dwell, because there in the most holy place is where He would be reigning in the heart of each son and daughter of God, just as He is reigning in the soul, in the heart of the Church of the Lord. Now notice, he continues to say here, Brother William says, I'm going back to the message, time to bear fruit for God, and he's now going to read the scripture of Malachi chapter 4. It says, but unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. Malachi 4, verse 2. Now let us turn to the message, the God of this evil age, on page 45. The Reverend William Branham tells us there when he's ending the message, and he's praying, and in the prayer he says, as your servant that stands between the living and the dead, pointing them with a finger to the Word of God. Now remember, each messenger is one that stands between God and the people. In other words, from age to age, from dispensation to dispensation, the messengers are the instruments of God and the ones that stand between God and the people, pointing them with a finger to the Word of God. I cannot save them, Lord, but they want to be saved. And Father, as I have said many times, the sun rises in the morning, and as it comes up across the earth, it's sent by God to ripen the grain, to make natural food for the natural living. But, O God, you said, to them that fear His name shall the Son of Righteousness rise with healing in His wings. Let the Son of Righteousness, the Word of God, rise in the hearts of the people. There, notice, once again, from where the Word must come forth, which is brought through each messenger, and at this end time is when it is brought and it is placed in the heart of the elect of God. And notice, what for? Rise in the hearts of the people, and the healing rays of faith, the healing rays of faith, in that word, cure disobedient to the word, and bring them to the fullness of the sons and daughters of God. That faith is the faith of which Brother Branham said, we barely have enough faith for divine healing. Now notice, those healing rays of faith are the ones the church bride is receiving, because the greatest miracle is the spiritual healing. Now, where there was always difficulties was with the ministers. It's always been. And where situations happened was with the ministers. Therefore, at this end time, each minister must look at his life in the mirror of the Word, and must have those healing rays of faith in his heart and in his soul to cure all disobedience that any minister or leader of a church may still have. They are and will be of a great blessing for the sons and daughters of God when they are in the right position. And in order for God to use them, they must look at themselves in the mirror of the Word, be sincere, and be obedient to the divine program, and remove all strange fire from their life and of their ministries, so that God may use them in favor of the church, in favor of the elect. The next position after a prophet on earth is to be a pastor, to be a minister of the Lord's fold. But it is a very, very great responsibility for which we all have to give an account for, because they are not your sheep. They are not your sheep. They are the Lord's. Now notice on page 45 of the message, The God of This Evil Age, there he writes, the morning sun equals, ripens the grain, the fullness. The Son of Righteousness is the one that ripens the grain in the morning. Now he goes on to say, here in the message, time to bear fruit for God, Dr. William Soto goes on to say, therefore, in the age of the cornerstone is where Christ, the Son of Righteousness, ripens the grain through the teaching of the second coming of Christ, because it's the teaching of the coming of the Son of Righteousness for the salvation of the elect of God, for the adoption of the elect of God, to ripen the sons and daughters of God in a perfect age. On page 69 of the Book of Quotations, paragraph 593, it says, there will come a light, will rise. Whereabouts? Over in Jerusalem? No, sir. Evening lights will not rise in Jerusalem. The evening lights goes where? In the west. They had their day and refused it. But the evening light, and there he writes summer above it, shall rise in the west. What for? To shine upon the word. What? To ripen the fruit. Bring forth the bride tree with the same signs, wonders, and fruits that they had at the beginning. On the right, he writes upward the sun, and he writes west, and a cornerstone and the ages, and an arrow towards the cornerstone. And on the left, writing upwards in the margin, he writes, the sun will ripen the grain in the west. And he also writes above that paragraph in that margin, the light in the west. There on the left, towards the top where he writes, the sun ripens, at the beginning of the sentence, he draws some rays like corn wheat. Now, our brother William goes on to say in the message we are reading, and now this is the same thing that happens with the church as a group. It happens with each elect, each son and daughter of God. They have to grow until they reach perfection. Notice on page 167 of the Book of Quotations, paragraph 1486, it tells us, I believe the church is beginning to hear the message and begin to understand. But friends, listen, we've got to lay in the presence of the sun. We've got to be ripened. Where do we have to lay? in the presence of the Son. Our faith isn't ripe. Intellectually, we are hearing the message that God has given us, and seeing the signs that He showed us, and proving it by the Bible, is there. But oh, how the church needs to lay in His presence till it tenders up. And there again, because it is in the heart, in the soul, where that word, which is theophany, reaches the very depths of the heart of each elect. And those powerful rays of light, of faith, strike the heart there and tenders up that heart. It tenders up, you know, and gets sweet in the spirit so that it can bathe down. Sometimes in speaking the message, you get harsh. Have to break it in like that, because you've got to clench a nail to make it hold. And there he draws a cornerstone on the right, and he draws three like little nails, and he writes nail. It is like he's driving the nails into the cornerstone. But when the church once gets it, the elected is called out and separated, because it is a time of separation. Then in the presence of God, I know it will be something like the people was there in paradise when it takes its rapture. And there he writes rapture, and he draws a cornerstone and the ages, and he writes 8 and 7 on the seventh age. And below, he writes a sentence, you'll be like the people there in paradise and the rapture. And on the left, he writes upward, the Son to ripen our faith. And if He is the Son of Righteousness, well then, what will ripen the faith of God's elect? Well, the Son, S-O-N. In other words, God's human throne. The Son to ripen our faith. The Son, the light. He wrote that there. Now, Brother William goes on to say, I am in the message, time to bear fruit for God. He goes on to say, and now, Christ wants a church that bears the fruit and ripens that fruit, allows that fruit to ripen. In other words, the church has to let Christ, the Son of Righteousness, ripen all the sons and daughters of God that He has in His church. In the message, there is a man here that can turn on the light. On page 40, the Reverend William Branham tells us, all false light. Yes, it's cost the church the greatest robbery it ever had. Cold denominational creeds, brother, won't ripen a vindicated word a grain. The Bible said, Jesus said, the word of God is a seed that a sower sowed. See, a cold creed won't ripen that word. No, no. Cold, blizzardy days won't ripen the wheat. No, indeedy. It takes the warmth of the sunlight, because it was God's spoken word to do such a thing with. And it'll take the word spoken of God today to show the saints of God that Jesus Christ lives, just the same as He was yesterday, He is today. Creeds and denominations will never do it. They're cold and indifference, and the grain will rot right in the ground. It can come forth under that. In other words, if it is not before the Son of Righteousness at this last day, at this end time, it will rot. That grain will rot and will not bring forth fruit. In other words, who starts shining the ground with flashlights, creeds, dogmas and traditions when he is not the leader, the Holy Spirit, that group will rot. As simple as that. Notice, he wrote there on the left, upward, the sunlight to ripen the grain. And there's only one sun, S-U-N, and it is the Son of Righteousness. It is the angel of the covenant in his coming. And there he draws a cornerstone in the ages, and rays around the cornerstone. And above he writes, it is a false light, a glare equals the denominations. Further down, on that same page 41, it says, now just think now where we're at. Look at the promises for the day, rejected again. How the churches had done in this last day, the denomination glare. And on the left, there he writes, the promises for today have been rejected. Living in the false glare in the reason that it won't ripe. That's the reason that this word, you don't see the miracles. And there he writes on the left, it won't ripen with a glare. In other words, whoever is not following the light of the Son of Righteousness, the light, who is Christ in his coming, he won't ripen. Therefore, he is being enlightened with a glare, and a glare won't ripen you. Therefore, you will rot. In order to ripen, you have to go to the sun, and there is only one sun, S-U-N. The rest are battery-powered flashlights, which to some, that power has run out. Or some are off and they're trying to shine, which causes that grain to rot. Now, our brother William continues saying, now let us see something here. Page 128. On the Book of Quotations, paragraph 1145, is the one that has two parts there. Let us look for that paragraph from page 128. The Reverend William Branham says, it is because they have two paragraphs with the same number, but he reads both of the paragraphs. Look, he says, and he begins to read. Notice the loosing of this ecclesiastical spirit. Now, 20 years later, after that war, we see the loosing of the ecclesiastical spirit. What under? The seventh seal. The seventh trumpet to the Jew. Brother William says, notice, under the seventh seal, which is for the church, and the seventh trumpet for the Hebrew people. That spirit is loosened again. Notice when that spirit is loosened. It is when the coming of the Lord, which is the seventh seal to the church, and is the seventh trumpet for Israel, which are two prophets, Moses and Elijah, those two ministries. There is where that's loosened again. In other words, at this time in which we are living. And now let us see, he goes on to say, look at the moon darkening out. Where under? See it draw out? The Son of Man being drove from the church. What is it? Joining in with the ecclesiastical bunch. Brother William says, in other words, the church of the seventh age joining the ecclesiastical group. And notice on that paragraph, that first paragraph 1145, on top he writes, seventh seal equals the seventh trumpet. The ecclesiastical spirit is loosened against and three dots. Seventh seal equals the seventh trumpet. Because what the seventh seal is the seventh trumpet. What the seventh seal is to the church is the seventh trumpet to Israel. And there is where he says, seventh seal equals the seventh trumpet. The ecclesiastical spirit is loosened against three dots. And also on the right, upward, he writes, the moon, church, darkening. Now, Brother William continues to say, he's now reading the next paragraph, 1145, right there on page 128, and he reads, it's been bound, not at the river Euphrates, but at the door of the creeds and dogmas, that the Holy Spirit can't work in the church because of man-made systems. But she is going to be liberated. She is coming back. That's what the Bible said. And those two meet one another on the battlegrounds, Lucifer and Michael again, like in the beginning. And there he writes on the right, Moses and Elijah, going upward. And above he writes, liberation equals through the Archangel Michael. It is through the Archangel Michael, which we know that Michael, Brother Branham says, is Christ. As Daniel says, at that time shall Michael stand up. See? In other words, when Daniel was saying that back then, he was referring to this end time where he already came forth from the throne of intercession. He rose, and he comes to carry out in Revelation 10, and to proclaim that time is no more, and comes to carry out the deliverance. Now, Dr. William Soto continues to say here in the message we are reading, time to bear fruit for God. That will be the showdown that the Reverend William Branham says on page 310 of the Book of the Seals, that there will be a showdown. Just as there was one in heaven, there will be one here on earth, he says. And he's going to quote from the Book of the Seals. Here we see life and death coming to the final struggle. The white horse of true life, the pale horse of mixed creed. They see the thing coming to the real showdown. There's a place on page 92 of the Book of Quotations, which belongs to the paragraph 800, where at the bottom of that paragraph he writes, on the white horse comes Christ's life. On the pale horse comes the devil, death. On the white horse comes Christ's life. On the pale horse comes the devil, death. Now, our brother William goes on to say, we are going to see another place. Now, notice, it says that the Holy Ghost was bound during the ages to denominational creeds or denominations. But the Holy Spirit is loosened because it comes out of the seven ages and now is free in the age of the cornerstone. Let us look another place if we can find it. There are more places where the Reverend William Branham speaks about that here on page 129, paragraph 1147, it says. And let us look for that page. Page 129, paragraph 1147. And he reads, the Holy Spirit has been bound by these denominational rivers for almost 2,000 years, but it is to be loosened in the evening time by the evening time message. The Holy Spirit back in the church again, Christ himself revealed in human flesh in the evening time. And he writes there, look, in the Book of Quotations, in that portion, above he writes, the Holy Spirit will be loosened from the denominational rivers in the evening time. The Holy Spirit will be loosened from the denominational rivers in the evening time. Our brother William continues to say, now we can see that mystery where the Holy Spirit is freed of those denominational rivers. And here in the age of the cornerstone, it is free from those denominational rivers. On page 362 from the Book of the Ages, the Reverend William Branham tells us, the wheat and the tares, which from the first age until now have grown side by side, are harvested. What Nicaea set out to accomplish has finally come to pass. With all the might of the organization, the false church turns from any vestige of truth, and with political might, reinforces herself with state backing and sets out to eradicate forever the true believer. And there he draws a Star of David to the right. But just when she is about to accomplish her cowardly plot, the wheat is gathered into the garner, and there he draws a cornerstone to the left, and he writes, the throne. No longer will the wheat and tares grow side by side. No longer will the tares receive of the blessings of God because of the presence of the wheat, for the wheat will be gone, and the wrath of God will be poured out in the sixth seal, which will end in the utter destruction of the wicked. And upward he writes, the wheat and the tares will never grow side by side. Now, how can we understand here that the wheat and the tares will not grow side by side? When we have seen the wheat and the tares side by side throughout the ages? When there, in Matthew, in chapter 13, verse 24 says, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up, and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst now thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then had it tares? He said unto them, an enemy had done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together unto the harvest. Now they are growing side by side. During the dispensation of grace, they were growing side by side, the wheat and the tares. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, which are the ministers of Moses and Elijah, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundle to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. That is also what in this same chapter 13, verse 38 and on, it says, of the field. Verse 36. Because notice, there on 36 it says, then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. Where did Jesus enter to explain that parable of the wheat and the tares? He went into the house. It is in the most holy place, where the Lord comes in, and he is with his elect at the supper. And there is where he gives them food in due season, and makes known to them the mysteries of the kingdom of God, and shows them, teaches them, explains to them everything that was brought in the dispensation of grace by the forerunner of the second coming of the Lord, and by the good tidings of that mighty archangel who was in the midst of the church bride. Now, he was outside, but he has come in. He has knocked at the door of each elect of God in each heart, and God's elect has opened the door to him, And God has been speaking to him from heart to heart. Now notice. And his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil, the harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burnt in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, whom were necessary at some point, which we will read further ahead somewhere. I shall cast them into the furnace of fire, there shall be the wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Now notice that also, a bit further on, it speaks again, here in verse 47 it says, again the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which, when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad out. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth, and there he draws a star of David to the left, and sever the wicked from among the just. There shall be the gnashing and wailing of teeth. Now notice how here Brother Branham says, I'm on page 362 on the Book of the Ages, edited, but just when she is about to accomplish her cowardly plot, the wheat is gathered into the garner. No longer will the wheat and tares grow side by side. No longer will the tares receive of the blessings of God because of the presence of the wheat. For the wheat will be gone. Now notice there he writes, the wheat and the tares will never grow side by side. In the age of the cornerstone, in the dispensation of the kingdom and age of the cornerstone, there the wheat and the tares will never grow side by side. The blessing and the blessings of the dispensation of the kingdom and of the age of the cornerstone are exclusively for the elect of God. Therefore, in the dispensation of the kingdom, the wheat and the tares will not grow side by side, and the wheat and the tares are not growing side by side. But in the dispensation of grace, they were indeed growing side by side. But by him sending the reaping angels, and placing the wheat in the storehouse to receive the blessings of the dispensation of the kingdom, the tares are not there. The wheat is there. That is why he says they won't grow side by side. That rapturing faith which God's elect are receiving, the tares will not receive it. No longer will the wheat and tares grow side by side. No longer will the tares receive of the blessings of God because of the presence of the wheat, because the wheat will be gone and the wrath of God will be poured out in the sixth seal, which will end in the utter destruction of the wicked. Now I said a moment ago that the false vine comes into a fruition in this age. Her fruit would mature and ripen. That's correct. This evil-spirited church, full of iniquity, will be revealed as the mustard seed that grew into a tree, wherein lodge the fowls of the air, and her head will be the Antichrist, the mystery of iniquity. All this is true. And if this is true, then it must also be true that the bride church will mature. And there he draws a cornerstone and the edges. And on the left, writing upward, he writes, World Confederation of Churches. And her ripeness shall be an identification with the Lord by means of the Word. And her head, who will come to her, is the mystery of godliness, which indeed is Christ. And as the false church with all cunning and diabolical power, made up of political force, physical force, and demons of darkness, come against this true vine, the true vine with the fullness of the Spirit and the Word will do the very acts of power that Jesus did. Then, as she nears her headstone, becoming like Him through the Word, Jesus will come that the bride and the groom may be forever united as one. Now, our brother William continues to say in the message we are reading, that is why any person that tries to establish a denomination in the age of the cornerstone, he's asking for a serious trouble before God. Now, how can a minister establish a denomination in our age, the age of the cornerstone? Firstly, the leader, which is the Holy Spirit, is not there, and they don't have him among that group. And secondly, what they are doing is against what God is carrying out. Therefore, they are creating a denomination, like any other denomination or religious group or sect. And the worst, Brother Branham says, are the groups that leave, the independents. They are the worst, worse than denomination themselves. Now he says, it's asking for a serious trouble before God, because he's trying to bind the Holy Spirit to a denominational river. That person will have grave problems before God. On page 148 of the Book of Quotations, paragraph 13, 17, it says, I certainly honor the Lutheran for their stand in their day, the Methodists for sanctification in their day, and the Pentecostals for their stand in their day. But we're living in another day. We're living when there has been stalk, tassel, shock, almost like the wheat. But the wheat is inside the shock. The shock has just supported the wheat, kept the hot sun from burning it. And now the denomination is pulling away from it, so it can lay in the presence of the sun to get ripe. And there he draws a cornerstone and the ages, and raised from the cornerstone, and numbers them from 1 to 7, from 1 to 8. And above he writes, the wheat, and he draws some sun rays like wheat. Now, our brother William continues to say here, I am in the message, time to bear fruit for God. Now, no one will be able to bind the Holy Spirit to denominational rivers in our time. And whoever does it, he will find themselves in serious trouble. Or whoever is doing it, he is already in serious trouble before God. Now, no one will be able to bind the Holy Spirit to denominational rivers in our time. And now notice, whenever they have bound the Holy Spirit to denominational rivers, it has been when an age has come. God sent a messenger, he has brought the message, the messenger has departed, and then the people who are left, then they try to organize what they believe the messenger meant, and they establish a denomination. They claim to protect all that work. Look at that. But what they make is a denominational river, in which they don't allow the Holy Spirit to work. On page 62 of the Book of Quotations, paragraph 542, it tells us, now the coming is so imminent, the second coming of Jesus, he's gathering his elect together. I believe that. Oh, they'll come from the east and the west. Where the carcass is, the eagles will gather. And on the left, he writes, gathering, the angels, Moses and Elijah. And he draws a cornerstone and the ages, and on top of the cornerstone, he writes, west, and below east. Oh my, what is it? He's got his uniness, his true uniness, showing himself among them, out of every denomination, bringing his elect together from all kinds of churches, from everywhere, bringing out his children, falling right in line with his word. And he draws a cornerstone to the left. What? Now, the coming of the Lord Jesus is so imminent, the coming of judgment, and he writes above there, in the margin above, the coming of the Lord equals the coming of the judgment. He is calling his elect together in oneness with himself, with the same kind of ministry he had. He is calling the elect Pentecostals out to make the headstone to come into it, and there he draws a cornerstone to the left. A very same kind of ministry dropping right in on it, calling his children from all denominations and all works of life. What has he done? He has placed with them a true teacher, true prophet, who stays with his word, the Bible. And there he writes on the right going up, teacher equals prophet, the voice. My sheep hear my voice, said Jesus. If that was his voice then, it's his voice now. Anything contrary to that voice is not sheep food. They won't follow it. Oh, brother, from east, from west, out of every denomination, out of every organization, they've come from the east and west gathering together. And below he writes, East Palestine, First Dispensation Law, West USA, Second Dispensation, Grace. And Latin America and the Caribbean, which is the dispensation of the kingdom. Now he continues to say there, let us read that paragraph again. And now notice, whenever they have bound the Holy Spirit to denominational rivers, it has been when an age has come. God has sent a messenger. He brought the messenger departed, and then the people who are left, then they try to organize what they believe the messenger meant. And they establish a denomination. They claim to protect all that work. But what they make is a denominational river, which they don't allow the Holy Spirit to work. And what does the Holy Spirit do? Leaves that group and continues forward. And it opens a new age with a new messenger. That has been the program that he has carried out from age to age. And that is how the fruit of Christ has come through his church. It's not that he comes and he waits for him decide to send the same messenger again, which is not even scriptural, because the only one who went and passed through paradise and brought the saints of the Old Testament and came back was Jesus. He went for 3 days and returned back. No messenger announced, nor religious leader, our brother William wrote, announced that he would die and that in 3 days he would resurrect. He, in his second coming, is the only one who will be able to be absent for 3.5 days, pass by the sixth dimension, carry out the judgment there, and return, and bring the saints who have departed. In other words, he, in that writing, he wrote, no religious leader prophesied, said that they would die and resurrect after 3 days. And the second one who has said it, the second leader who has said it, is the ministry of Moses and Elijah. No other messenger has prophesied that that would happen with him. And when God takes a messenger and places him to rest, he doesn't raise him up again to carry out the work that is left to be carried out. Like some denominational rivers who have gone on saying that they are waiting for Brother William to return to preach the messages in the tent. That is a denomination, because they are adding, putting on private revelations, private interpretations, which is against the divine program, and they will have grave problems before God, unless they repent. And what does the Holy Spirit do? It leaves that group and continues forward, and it opens a new age with a new messenger. That has been the program that he has carried out from age to age. And that is how the fruit of Christ has come through his church. In the Book of the Ages, page 375, the edited book, the Reverend William Branham tells us, harvest time. Have you noticed that in the harvest time, though there is a real acceleration in the ripening, there is consequently a slowing of growth until there is no growth? Is that not exactly what we are seeing now? The false vine is losing multitudes to the communist and various other types of belief. Her numbers are not increasing as she would like us to think. Her hold on the people is not what it used to be. And in so many cases, going to church is just a show. And the true vine? What about her? Is she growing? Where are those vast numbers that keep coming to the revivals and answer altar calls? Are not most of them merely emotional in their approach of desirous of something physical rather than desiring that which is truly spiritual? Is this age not like the day in which Noah entered the ark and the door was shut, but yet God tarried in judgment 7 days? Not one was literally turned to God in those silent days. And there he writes, the days of Noah, he wrote it to the left. He wrote door, and he writes Noah also, and he writes 7 days of silence, and he draws a cornerstone. And he also writes there on the right, the door shut 7 days before the judgment. Silence. The half hour of silence equals seven seal, seven thunders, seven consecutive stages. The door shut 7 days before judgment. And he writes silence on top of it. And he also writes the half hour of silence equals seven seal, seven thunders, seven consecutive stages. And yet, it is the harvest time. There then must come upon the scene in this age those who will bring the wheat and tares to maturity. The tares are already maturing very fast on the corrupt teachers who turn the people from the word. But the wheat also must mature. And to her, God is sending the prophet messenger with the vindicated ministry that he might be accepted by the elect. They will hear him as the first church heard Paul. And they will mature. And there he draws a cornerstone to the right. And she will mature in the word until becoming the word bride. The mighty works will be found in her that are always attendant upon the pure word and faith. And he draws a cornerstone on the left as well. The false church groups will come together in the World Council of Churches. This World Council of Churches is the image erected to the beast. And to the left he writes, the World Council. Now, our brother William continues to say, the church has been bearing fruit from age to age, sons and daughters of God, but the church of Jesus Christ has not yet brought forth sons and daughters of God in glorified bodies. They have only come in bodies of flesh and have received the new birth and obtained the theophanic body, but they still need to receive the physical, immortal, incorruptible, and glorified body. On page 41 of the message, The Invisible Union of the Bride of Christ, the Reverend William Branham tells us, this is my message to the church now. As we go off the air just in a minute, you are standing, if you are standing in God's word, and he writes the seventh seal, and with God's word, and there on the right, he draws a cornerstone on the ages. And now let us see what he wrote there. Every amen, every jot, every title. Where are you standing? I'm trying to tell you. Pull away from them shucks and get out here in the wheat where you can get ripe before the sun. I hear the coming of the combine. And he writes, Moses and Elijah, you're standing complete, justified, like you never did it in the first place. Hallelujah. Talk about a thanksgiving. And on the left, he writes upward, to ripen the wheat, to that, the sun, and the harvest. And in the cornerstone and the ages, he drew on the right, and on the seventh age, he writes, shuck. And twice he writes, wheat, in the cornerstone and a little below that. And above he writes, in the margin above he writes, justified, as if you have never sinned. Now notice, in this part here, a bit before, I didn't read that previous sentence. He says, by the washing of the water by the word, in the word, see, by the, you're standing completely justified, as though you never did it at the beginning. And there he draws a Star of David to the right. That is the sentence before that paragraph I read. And there he writes above, justified as if you had never sinned. He is the one that justifies before the Heavenly Father, at His first coming, and at His second coming as well. Because you're standing in the Word, and He is the Word. Now, our brother William goes on to say here, and that is why in the age of the cornerstone, we will all be maturing, to be transformed and to be harvested, and to have sons and daughters of God to the image and likeness of our beloved Lord Jesus Christ. On page 359, on the edited Book of the Ages, the Reverend William Branham tells us, now we can see why there were two vines, one true and one false. Now we can see why Abraham had two sons, one after the flesh that persecuted Isaac, and one after promise. Now we can see how that out of the same parents, two boys came forth as twins, one knowing and loving the things of God, and the other knowing much of the same truth, but not of the same spirit. And hence persecuted the child that was elect. God did not reprobate for the sake of reprobation. He reprobated for the sake of the elect. Elect cannot persecute elect. Elect cannot harm elect. It is the reprobates that persecute and destroy the elect. All those reprobates are religious. They are smart. They are of the Cain line, the serpent seed. They built their Babels. They built their cities. They built their empires. And all while calling on God. They hate the true seed. And they will do all they can, even in the name of the Lord, to destroy God's elect ones. But they are needed. That is why we can't be complaining that they speak and they mock and criticize and they say all sort of blasphemy about the Holy Spirit who is working in this end time, in the instrument as well as in the elect of God, as well as in the work that God is carrying out. And we can see how they don't hold back regarding what they do on social media and on all available media. Now, you can understand that they have that place and they are needed. So, don't be complaining. Rather, focus on yourself and let them continue doing their work, the work that they are doing, because they are necessary. From the ministers that from the pulpits have crucified the Lord again, unto those who do it in the way they are doing it. But they are needed. And you can already identify them. Every attack against the ministry under the tent and of the Great Tent Cathedral, and against what God is carrying out, that revival in each place that the third pool goes, whoever attacks the ministry of the seventh seal is considered to be part of this group. They have that place and are needed. Each elect of God has already identified them. What is the chaff to the wheat? Jeremiah 23:28. No chaff, no wheat. But at the end, what happens to the chaff? It is burnt with fire unquenchable. And the wheat, where is it? It is gathered in the garner. It is where he is. O elect of God, beware. Study closely. Be careful. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Philippians 2:12. Rely upon God and be strong in his might. Your adversary, the devil, is over now going about like a roaring lion seeking who he may devour. Watch unto prayer and be steadfast. This is the end time. Both the true and false vines are coming into maturity. But before the wheat matures, those ripened tares must be bound for the burning. See? They are all joining the World Council of Churches. That is the binding. Soon, the gathering of the wheat will come. But right now, the two spirits are at work in the two vines. Come out from among the tares. Start to overcome, that you may be considered praiseworthy for your Lord, and fit to reign and rule with him. Blessed be the Lord forever. May you be considered praiseworthy, so that you are fit to reign and rule with him. When? In the glorious messianic kingdom, in the glorious millennial kingdom, and for all eternity. And he continues saying, our brother William, in this message that we were reading, time to bear fruit for God. And now, that is why the latter rain of the teaching of the second coming of Christ comes. That is why it comes at this end time. And that teaching, it was shown to us that it would be given in a great tent cathedral, where the thunders would be uttering their voices, which is what God is carrying out today, thus bringing fulfillment, fulfilling that scripture of Matthew chapter 13, where the reaping angels are carrying out that segregation, that separation, because the tares will not be receiving the blessings of the dispensation of the kingdom, of the age of the cornerstone. Time to ripen in the light of the word. That is the subject that we will be watching on this occasion. Let us stand and thus leave in this subject time to ripen in the light of the word our beloved brother and friend, Dr. William Soto Santiago.